Revelation 18:8, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Do you think so? Strong is the Lord who judges her. Wow. I wonder why that has to be said. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to the Revelation series. For strong is the Lord who judges her. This has to be said because nobody thinks the Lord is strong. Nobody thinks God is strong because he hasn't shown up lately to do anything detrimental to the nifty, nimble plans of humanity, but he is going to. So this needs to be said, and we need to be reminded of this ourselves. We know God is strong, but he displays his strength in beauty now. He displays his strength in the sun that appears to rise and set, in the leaves that rustle on the trees, even in the little inchworm that inches across the sidewalk. Fascinating motion with the inchworm. That's the strength of God. But the strength we're talking about is a strength that leveled a city like San Francisco during the famous San Francisco earthquake, or the tsunami that struck Indonesia in 2006. When was the San Francisco earthquake? Was that around 1908, something like that? It's going to be sudden destruction, whether it's an earthquake or a tsunami. But tsunamis and earthquakes go hand in hand because earthquakes cause tsunamis. So you're going to see an amazing confluence of natural events that will be seen to be quite unnatural. It'll be so over the top that it will be supernatural, which is above natural. And I'm looking forward to it. I am. Because everybody thinks God is asleep. And I said at the beginning of this series, people shake their fists at God, "Where are you?" And they think God's asleep. It's the Woody Allen type thing. I don't see God anywhere. I mean, he doesn't seem to be anywhere. He lets us go do our own thing. Yeah. Well, he's not going to let us do our own thing. He's coming with great vengeance. I saw a bumper sticker once and I didn't like it, but there's some truth to it. Christ is returning soon, and boy, is he pissed. Well, here's the part of it that I like, is that there's judgment coming, but I don't like it because the inference is eternal torment. I mean, people read eternal torment into that. They see the anger of God in Christ, and they do not see it at all as productive. They see it as vindictive. It's like God's coming down, and he's going to get you. He's so upset that everybody's doomed, but no, it's only temporary. And so I can say he's pissed with a purpose. He's pissed with a purpose. So, of course, God is strong who judges her. And it's only waiting for the right time. Verse 9, "And the kings of the earth who commit prostitution will be lamenting, grieving over her, whenever they may be observing the smoke of her conflagration, standing afar off because of the fear of her torment, saying, Woe! Woe, that great city, Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judging came." In 1 hour. Now notice the city is called Strong. Two verses after we found out that strong is the Lord God who judges her. There is human strength, worldly strength, the strength of humanity to build, to prosper. And then there is the strength of God, which makes the strength of humanity look minuscule by comparison. Verse 11, "And the merchants of the earth are lamenting and mourning over her." Why merchants? Because this whole thing is based upon money. It's based upon trade. Again, this is no more difficult than what people want. And people want stuff. It's so humiliating to think that all humanity comes down to this. All the wars that are fought come down to pride and wanting stuff. I mean, tell me something else. Power, but that's pride. Armaments, but that's wanting stuff and power. Money, again, it's wanting stuff. Some people want stuff, some people want power. It's wanting stuff and power. All of humanity, all the wars come down to that. And you might say behind that is selfishness. Behind that is people straining and striving. My boys used to make fun of me, my sons, because once in a while they'd cajole me into watching an action movie. And I hate action movies. I hate war movies. I hate movies that make loud noises. I hate cars exploding and buildings blowing up and people shooting guns. I hate it. Machine guns. Even worse, I like Woody Allen movies which are very boring. Sorry, that was Elmer Fudd. I get those two mixed up sometimes because I like movies with that are character-driven, that are conversational, where people talk and they iron out their difficulties. And you may yawn, but I say it's intellectual. And the smart people iron things out intellectually, not with their fists. But people love power. And my contention to my sons always was, that guy just needs more sleep. You know, they'll be showing me Star Wars, and there's Darth Vader, and he wants to take over the world. And James Earl Jones, I've got to see if I can see this field. Oh, that's a different movie, but it's still James Earl Jones. But anyway, I said, like, Darth Vader, he just needs more sleep. Mel Gibson and all his war movies, like Braveheart, these guys are the movie 300. These guys are all... They got a six-pack, amazing abs, they're screaming, their faces are painted, they have weapons of war, and they're marching, and they're going, ah! And you see these armies with spears, like in Lord of the Rings. I've never seen that series. They all need naps. They need 8 hours of sleep. What are they so worried about? What are they fighting for? They're fighting for their little parcel of land. Well, guess what? Numbnuts, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to him. What do you have that's not on loan? Why are you getting excited about your territory? I know God gave Israel little patches of land in accord with their tribes, but let go, loosen the grip, because you have to get a grip on something else, namely sanity. Sanity. If you want sanity, take a nap. Get more sleep. Eat coconut oil. Mel Gibson, Braveheart, whoever you are, Darth Vader. Eat coconut oil and take a nap. And you're going to wake up and feel refreshed, and you won't be so worried about defending your territory. Look at Jesus Christ. Is he defending his territory? His territory is the universe. Certainly the earth, while he was here, he created it. And yet I see him very calmly. Well, he did get upset at religious hypocrites. Yeah, he didn't get upset at Rome. He was silent as a sheep before the shearers in Rome. But against the Pharisees, he got quite upset. Power? I'm sorry. You have no power except they were given to you from above. In 1 hour, your judging came. How long does it take an earthquake to hit? Do you remember that earthquake in San Francisco in 1988? It happened during the World Series, and it happens in an instant. Everybody is caught off guard. You just hear the rumbling, and you run. My friend Jim Corum used to live in Santa Clarita, California, is the president of the Concordant Publishing Concern, remembers many earthquakes in L.A., says the ground used to go like this, undulate like an inchworm. Very scary thing to see. Although, you know me, I would like to see it. I was in San Francisco for a few days, a few years ago, and I realized I was in the earthquake capital of the world. Well, except maybe Anchorage, Alaska, or Tokyo, Japan. I hear there's a great earthquake, there's a great fault line running through Lima, Peru. But actually, I think that's the same fault that is called the San Andreas Fault that goes up the east coast of the United States. When I was in Ohio, somebody said there was a fault in Ohio. And in fact, I felt an earthquake in Ohio one day. I was sitting at the dining room table. What the heck? That felt like an earthquake. Next day in the newspaper, sure enough, there was an earthquake off the shore of Lake Erie. So earthquakes work. Earthquakes produce tsunamis. It can happen in an hour. Look at the video footage of Indonesia during a tsunami. Just terrible. Terrible. The sun was shining and this killer wave came in, killed hundreds of thousands of people. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth are lamenting. Of course they're lamenting because it's all about money. Yeah, that's where I left off. It's all about stuff. It's all about pride. You just drop it and this love of money will no longer consume you. We all need money. It's not money that's the root of all evil. No, not money. We all need money. Money's good. I like having money. It's the love of money. You know, and the saying goes, and I recommend the saying to you, I said, do what you love and the money will come. Do what you love. So love should be hand in hand, should go hand in hand with doing something, not attaining something. You do something. You have a purpose in life. You have to have a purpose in life. Everybody has a different purpose. Some people, well, no. I guess the people who work at the Publix grocery store here all have the same purpose, to make my shopping experience at Publix a happy one. But my purpose is different from yours. I herald the evangel. You might work at a grocery store or a bank. Great. We're all doing our thing. God gives us all whatever money we need, and we don't love it. You hold it loosely. You hold your fingers like this, and it could slip through your hands, and that's fine. You're not going to panic because you have a God. Other people are not aware that they have a God. They still do. They're just not aware of it. So, of course, the merchants are lamenting. Did you know that people jumped off buildings during the stock market crash of October 29? The stock market crash. People's lives are so wrapped up in their stock holdings, their worth. They measure their worth in dollars or yen or soles or pesos or whatever. Marks, I don't know. The euro. That when that world collapses, they collapse. That's how closely they are. They're tied to it. The stock market falls, they fall from a building because they jump. I can't even understand that mentality. But I think everyone has that mentality to one degree or another, that when we lose money, we become sad. It's normal. It's human. But that power it has on us is lessened when we realize that our love should be directed toward doing and toward people, not toward things and toward money. No one's buying their cargo. This is a quote from Scripture. I'm not kidding you. The merchants of the earth are lamenting and mourning over her, for no one is buying their cargo any longer. It sounds like a Woody Allen lament. No one's buying my cargo. I got all this great cargo here, and nobody wants it. I don't understand. Can you explain to me why no one's buying my cargo? So this cargo, no one's buying it. Now here's the cargo, and I'm going to explain this to you. I should have to, it looks like I'm going to have to wait till tomorrow now. But I have, you want to know what this stuff is. Listen to this list of cargo that the merchants have that Babylon can no longer purchase, but that they were purchasing, but their purchasing power is compromised because of this earthquake and tsunami thing, this destruction in an hour. Yeah, it's inhibiting her purchasing abilities here. Here's the cargo. A cargo of gold and of silver and of precious stones and of pearls and of cambric and of purple and of silk and of scarlet, including also every kind of citron wood. That's citron, C-I-T-R-O-N, market, citron wood, and every ivory utensil and every utensil of most valuable wood and of copper and of iron and of marble, including also cinnamon and ginger. I will have a lot to say about ginger tomorrow. And incenses and attar, or is it attar, A-T-T-A-R. I'll look that up for you and have a report for you tomorrow on how to pronounce A-T-T-A-R. I'd like to pronounce it attar, but I think it's adder. Don't know. And frankincense and wine and oil and flour and grain and beasts and sheep, also made up of horses and of coaches and of bodies, including also human souls. That takes us to the end of verse 13 of Revelation chapter 18, of which there is 24 verses. You want to know what all of this means, what all of this signifies: the copper, the iron, the marble, the cinnamon, the ginger, the citron wood, the attar. You want to know, and I will tell you. I will tell you what all this is, because I know what every one of these things are. For that, you'll have to wait until tomorrow. I keep you in suspense. I keep you in suspense. At least I'm not going to drag it over the weekend. Stay tuned. This is a book of Revelation, and God is revealing things to us if we only believe Him.